Good afternoon, brothers and sisters, and mothers. Happy Mother's Day. And indeed, it is a great privilege and honor for me to share Mother's Day's message this afternoon. Shall we join our hearts together and pray? Father Lord, indeed, we want to thank you and praise you, for you are a loving God, that you have created mother like you as an expression of your deep love for your people all over the world. And Lord, we ask that during this Mother's Day, may you empower mothers and shower them with your blessing and your grace and mercy so that they will love and comfort everyone that is in need of their comfort. We pray that as I share your word on Mother's Day, may your Holy Spirit use it to touch your people this afternoon. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In 1945, there was a family called Solomon Rosenberg, and this is a true story, but the pictures are not the true pictures of them. So Solomon Rosenberg was interned in the concentration camp, and he has a father and mother and wife and also two sons by the name of Joshua and David. And while in the concentration camp, anyone that is weak and sick will be the first one to be sent to the gas chambers. And because Solomon Rosenberg's father and mother were old and weak, they were the first one that was sent to die. And what was left behind was Solomon Rosenberg's wife and the two sons. But unfortunately, the youngest son, David, was disabled and was very weak. And every morning, as the guards take the children out and the parents out to the respective areas where they are to do work, Solomon was very worried. Because every time when he come back from his work in the evening, he will ask the wife and the children, what happened to David? Because he is weak and sick, and probably he will not live. And every time when he can see his youngest son David is still around, he praised God and thanked God. And one day when he came back, Solomon Rosenberg saw that there was only the elder son Joshua around. The mother and the youngest son David was not around. And so Joshua told the father that actually that morning David, the youngest son, was very weak, and the soldiers wanted to take David away and send him to the gas chamber. But David was afraid, and he cried and cried because he did not want to be separated from the mother. And so the mother told David, David, it is okay because Mama will go with you. And so the mother went with David to comfort David so that David will not cry. And together they went to the guest chamber and died together. And that is why, brothers and sisters, this morning I want to share with you God's message taken from Isaiah 66, verse 13, that actually talks about mother's comfort. And if you have the Bible, you can turn to the verse, Isaiah chapter 66, which is the last chapter, verse 13. And this is God's word. As a mother comforts her child, so will I comfort you, and you will be comforted over Jerusalem. The context of this verse was the prophecy of Isaiah around 700 BC. Isaiah prophesies from Jerusalem that one day, about 100 over years later on in the future, the Babylonians will come and capture and destroy Jerusalem and the temple of Jerusalem. And the people of God, the Jewish people, will be exiled to a faraway land in Babylon, which is like 900 miles away. And there the people of God that has been exiled, knowing that their city of Jerusalem has been destroyed and the temple of Jerusalem has been destroyed, they were in despair, they will be discouraged, and they will be in distress, thinking that God has forsaken them. And that is why Isaiah 66:13, God assured the exiled Israelites, that God still cared for them. And this verse, some theologians call it as the motherhood of God. And there are 2 points I want to do an exposition. The first point is, this verse talks about the comfort of mothers, as a mother comforts her child. And the second point is, there is this comfort of God. So will I comfort you, and you will be comforted over Jerusalem. And when Isaiah prophesies that as a mother comforts a child, it seems that the mother's comfort is something that is natural, that is factual, and that is perpetual. And earlier on in Isaiah chapter 49, God says, can a mother forget the baby at her breast and have no compassion on the child she has born? And we know that when a mother conceives a child, she has to carry the child in her body for at least 9 months. And already there is a deep bonding and relationship between the mother and the child. And when the child is delivered from the mother's womb, the mother has to go through a lot of labor pain. And after that, the mother will have to care for the baby. And therefore, this question that God asked in Isaiah, can a mother forget the baby at her breast, is actually a rhetorical question. A question where all of us know the answer, that a mother cannot forget the baby at her breast. And the mother will have compassion on the baby that she carried in her womb and the baby that she delivered. And in this picture, which I got from the internet, it shows that the mother is in despair. The mother is malnourished. The mother is lonely. But yet the mother can never forget and can never have no compassion for the baby that she has born. And she will feed the baby, she will protect the baby, she will shelter the baby. And that is the comfort of mother that God has given to all mothers so that we can be comforted. And in fact, comfort is so important because Mother Teresa says that the greatest poverty in this world is not the poverty of money, but the greatest poverty of this world is the poverty of life, of love, of the feeling of not being wanted and not being loved. The poverty of money will make you waste away physically, but the poverty of love and comfort will make you waste internally. And that is a greater suffering, to waste internally without love and comfort. And a mother's natural instinct is always to love, to comfort, to protect, and sometimes mother even will die for the child without thinking twice. And in 2nd September 2008 in China, there was this massive earthquake in the province of Sichuan, and 78,000 people died. And as the rescuers dug up the rubbles, they found actually there was a mother that was hugging a child, trying to protect the child and sheltering the child from the earthquake. And that demonstrates and illustrates the love of a mother for a child. And if you go backwards 4,000 years ago, in China again, in this province called Qinghai, archaeologists 3 years ago, in the year 2015, they dug out a skeleton of a mother embracing and interlocking with the skeleton of a baby, again demonstrating that the love and comfort of the mother towards the child is something that is natural, that is God ordained, and that is God made. And we salute all mothers because truly they demonstrate the true love for their child, and they will nurture them and care for them. There is a Jewish proverb that goes something like this: God could not be everywhere, so he created mothers. Theologically, we know that this is not true, because God is omnipresent. God is everywhere. But the author just want to drive home the point that on earth, where God is not visible, God is visible through mothers, because mother is an expression of God's love to the children. And God's special love of comfort is found uniquely only in mothers. And I just want to define what is comfort. And as I search for the meaning, I find that this particular definition of comfort is very complete. There are two aspects of comfort. One aspect is to decrease the grief and trouble, and that is the aspect of consolation. But there is also the other aspect of comfort, and that is to increase the strength and hope of a child. That is to cheer a child. And if you look at this picture, both the mothers and the child were badly burned and deformed by an acid attack. But yet you can see in this picture that the child that is deformed find comfort in the mother who is also deformed and disabled. And you can see that a child truly needs a comfort that comes from a mother. And a mother is truly selfless. And when I was a young boy, I think it was 5 years old or 6 years old, I remembered I was living in an estate. And we will sleep on a platform. My father, my mother in a rubber estate. Then my brothers, my sisters, and myself. We will sleep on a platform at night. And I don't know why, in the estate, in the labor lines, there was these pictures. These are the pictures. There were many of these pictures that my father kept, which I sometimes see. And it talks about that one day, the Chinese believe that when you die, one day you will go to hell. And in hell, there will be judgment. And here, if you commit any bad things in hell, you will be sawn into two, just like Isaiah was sawn into two. And as a young boy, when I see this picture, I become terrified. And if you lie, do you know what happened to you when you go to hell? They will cut your tongue. And I was terrified as a young boy. And if you steal things, which I do, which I lie, which I do bad things, if you steal things, what will happen to you in hell? They will cut off your fingers. And so as a young boy, when I look at these pictures, I always have nightmares. And whenever I have nightmares in the middle of the night, I remember. Because it happens many times. I will crawl next to my mother, and I will just touch her body and feel her warmth, the security and the safety, knowing that my mother will kill all the demons if they come after me. They have to cross over my mother's dead body. And that was the comfort that I received as a young boy. And but 2 weeks ago, I went back to Malacca to look at to visit my mother. And she's already 102 years old. She's a Christian. And unfortunately, 2 weeks ago, when I went back, her domestic helper has gone back to Indonesia. So we have a new domestic helper. And she was most unhappy. I wish I had taken the picture. Her mouth was pouting. And I keep on calling her and talk to her. And she refused to answer me. And I realized that for the first time in my life, I have to comfort my mother, just as she has comforted me when I was young. And a mother's comfort can come in many ways. When I was having my nightmare, the constant presence of mother by my side gave me security and safety. And my mother's silence also speaks louder than words. And sometimes she will tell me, "Jangan takut, tidur, tidur," she will tell me not to be afraid. And also mothers, unlike fathers, they are always very confident of their child's ability and inability, especially when the child has done something foolish or even fail in the exam, the father will take out the cane, but the mother will embrace the child and say, it is okay to fail. Just don't fail the next time. And that was what happened to Thomas Alva Edison. And we know that last century, the greatest inventor of all times is probably Thomas Alva Edison. But do you know that when he was a young boy, he went to school, and this is a true story. He went to school, and the teacher says that he is adult. Adult means mentally deficient, mentally challenged. The teacher tells Thomas Edison, when he was a young boy, he has no future. He's a slow learner. But when Thomas Edison went back and tell the mother was angry and furious that how can a teacher say that my son is mentally deficient? So Thomas Edison's mother decided on that day that he will not send Thomas Edison to this teacher, to the school, and he homeschooled Thomas Edison. And Edison, when he was old, he said, my mother was the making of me. She was so true and so sure of me. I felt that I had someone to live for, someone I must not disappoint. The memory of my mother will always be a blessing to me. We want to salute mother, because mother, you truly have confidence in your child who may be deficient or disabled or may have failed, but yet you have confidence and you trust them that they can perform better, and many times they do perform better. Mothers and fathers are created differently, and both are needed. Mothers comfort, fathers challenges. The father always demands that the child must perform, and it's only when the child performs that the father accepts the child. But the mother accepts the child unconditionally. Whether the child performs or doesn't perform, the child still belongs to the mother. There was a very touching story that I read about Irma Bombeck, an American lady that writes very well. And she tells the story of how God created mothers. And it goes something like, when God was creating mothers, the angels complained to God, God, why are you spending so much time on creating mothers? God answered, I'm close to creating someone very much like myself. And that is why I take such a long time. The mother I'm creating have three pairs of eyes. The mother that I'm creating have three pairs of hands. And the mother I'm creating have three pairs of legs. And it looks something like this. We call it the supermom. The mother have three pairs of eyes because the first pair of eyes can see the child, and the child can also see the mother. And when their eyes locked, the child can sense that tenderness and love of the mother. But the second pair of eyes that the mother possesses is over the forehead that is not visible. But that pair of eyes can see through doors and walls. When the child is sleeping in the room, the mother can see through whether the child is sleeping or not sleeping, or the child is sick, or the child is crying. And then also, God created the third pair of eyes for mother, which is at the back of the head. And this pair of eyes, the mother will be able to see what the mother is not supposed to see. But the mother knows when the child is doing things behind the mother's back. And God created mothers with three pairs of hands. The first pair of hands is used at 5 a.m. when the mothers wake up to prepare breakfast for the child, to prepare the child to go to school. And then after at 7:30, the mother will then go to work and use the second pair of hands. And at 5 o'clock or 6 o'clock, when the mothers come back, the mothers will use the third pair of hands to prepare the dinner for the whole family. and also to spend time with the child, to do the homework and put the child to sleep. And also God created mothers with three pairs of legs, because mother work 24/7. And if you work 24/7, mothers need three pairs of legs for three shifts. One pair of legs for 8 hours, followed by the second pair and the third pair. And if you want to know this super mom, actually it is written in the Bible. It is found in Proverbs chapter 31, verses 15 to 21. So children, if you want to appreciate your mother, after the church service, please read to your mother. Proverbs chapter 31, verses 15 to 21. And please allow me to read God's word about super mothers. Verse 15, she gets up while it is still night. She provides food for her family and portions for her female servants. She considers a field and buys it. Out of her earnings, she plants a vineyard. She sets about her work vigorously. Her arms are strong for her task. She sees that her trading is profitable, and her lamp does not go out at night. In her hand, she holds the distaff and grabs the spindle with her fingers. She opens her arms to the poor and extends her hands to the needy. When it snows, she has no fear for her household, for all of them are clothed in scarlet. That is a super mom. And she is super powered and super energized. About 10 years ago, I remembered one of my church friends gave me this book by the name of, called Think Big, Realizing Your Potential for Excellence. And the author is Ben Carson. And I was truly inspired. And I bought this book and given to many people because it talks about the goodness and love of a mother. Ben Carson was born to a very poor family. The father left the whole family, and the mother has to work in as a washer lady. The mother will go to people who need their house to be washed, and normally these are all rich people. The mother is illiterate, but he has two sons, and the younger son is called Benjamin Carson. And Benjamin and his brother Curtis, when they go to school, because they are very poor and they are black, and they always will end up last in the class, and they will always be ridiculed. But the mother observed one thing when he was washing the houses of all these rich people. He realized that rich people have many television sets in their home, but they never watch television. The rich and successful people spend most of their time reading books. And so Ben Carson's mother, Sonia Carson, decided that he wants both his boys who are last in class to be successful. And so he forced both his sons that they must read 2 books a week, and then they must write it down and read it to the mother what they have read, the books from the library. So one day, after many months, the teacher asked the class, "Can any one of you tell me what is obsidian?" Do you know what's obsidian? Any one of you? Oh, there's a gentleman there. And Ben Carson was able to raise up his hand and says that, "I know obsidian. Obsidian is a mineral that is derived when the molten lava from the volcano hardens." And then he goes on to explain. And soon, Ben Carson became number one in class. And then he became one of the most famous pediatric neurosurgeons in the world. He was a professor of neurosurgery in Johns Hopkins Hospital. And doctors will know that he pioneered hemispherectomy, which means that for those patients who have severe epilepsy status epilepticus, if they keep on having epilepsy or if they have brain condition, Ben Carson is the first person to remove half the brain. And the child can still survive and can still walk. And he did a lot of miraculous surgeries on Siamese twins. And today he is the Secretary of Housing and Urban Development in America. And he remembered his mother because it was his mother that comforted him and nurtured him. And he says that, the mother says that, remember this, son, as you go through life. The person who has the most to do with what happens to you is you. You make the choices and you decide and take full responsibility for your life. And that is the love of a mother. And the second point I want to share is the comfort of God. And here in Isaiah chapter 66 verse 13, God's word say that God will comfort you and you will be comforted in our distress, in our despair, when we are discouraged. We can go to our Lord because He is the Lord of all comfort. In fact, Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 3 to 7 says that our God is a God of all comfort, all circumstances, all people, and all time. God is actually there, and He will comfort us. And in fact, in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 to 7, there are only 5 verses. But do you know how many times the word comfort appears? 9 times. In 5 verses, the word comfort appears 9 times. Paul is not long-winded. Paul is not Chong Hei. But Paul wants to emphasize and tell us that truly our God is a God of comfort. If you have never known that our God is a God of comfort, today I want you to go back and read 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Our God comforts us all the time. We just have to seek Him and ask Him. And here Paul tells us that our God of comfort will comfort us so that we can comfort others, and when others are comforted, they will comfort us, and together we share the comfort of God. So that in our troubles, in our suffering, in our despair, we will be comforted by the comfort of God. In this world, all of us go through a lot of stresses. But I like to simplify the stress as good stress and bad stress. Good stress is called eustress. And it is beneficial for us to go through eustress, the good stress, because it improves our performance and gives us a fulfilled life. Coming to church to share this message is a eustress for me. It's a good stress for me. And if you attend a conference to learn new things, that is a good stress, a eustress. Or you go for a holiday, but not a holiday where you come back, you need another holiday. That is not a good stress, that is a bad stress. Or coming to church this morning is a good stress. You have to wake up early, you have to prepare, and you come. But in this world, there's not only the eustress, but it's also the distressed. And distress is something that is bad, that is not beneficial, it causes anxiety and worry, and sometimes it paralyzes us, and it decreases our performance, and our life becomes empty and dissatisfied. For example, if we are going through a broken relationship, that is a distress. If we have suffered a great financial loss, that is a distress. Or we are being retrenched, or we are going through some serious illness. And that is why it's so important, brothers and sisters, that in our distress, we must go to our Lord and tell Him our distress. Because our God is a God of comfort, and He will comfort us, either by sending angels to comfort us, or sometimes He sends friends, church members, He sends pastors or anybody to share with us, comfort us, encourage us, to support us and to help us, and we will be comforted. And comfort means that Number one, our stress will be decreased. And number two, our strength will increase. And that is comfort. I remember when I first came to Kuala Lumpur, you know, Ipoh is very famous for being very slow. And I did not realize that until recently when I go back to Ipoh, and I said, really, Ipoh is so slow, you know. When I drive in Ipoh now, I find that the people drive so slowly. The traffic light is really green. The traffic light is not a decoration piece. When you see that it's green, you have to move. But Ipoh people just take their time and they dream and then they go. So imagine when I came to KL for the first 6 months, actually I and my wife went through so much stress, not only because of the traffic light, but because of work and ministry. You know, when you are working 28 years, you know, in the secular side, and now you have to do ministry, the culture is very different. And the way we do things are very different. And it poses a lot of stress for my wife and for myself. And also we cried. And I told my wife, we never cried so much in our life. But crying is a good thing for you. Because the more broken you are, the more God can use you. And we have many sleepless nights. And there were times we tell God after many months, God, when will you help us? And when we reach breaking point, after 6 months, I remember God sent helpers to help us so that from distressed, now we are in eustressed. All because our God is a God of comfort. And in John 14, verse 18, Jesus tells us that I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you, but you have to ask. When you ask, God will answer. And he will send people and angels to help you. Because at the end of the dark tunnel is the light of our Lord Jesus Christ. And in Revelation chapter 21, there will one day be a new heaven and a new earth. And in this new heaven and new earth, as the old one passed away, there is no longer a need for comfort. Because in the new heaven and new earth, God will wipe away every tear from our eyes. There will be no more death. There will be no more mourning or crying or pain. And for many of us here, I know that many of us suffer from serious sicknesses. Many of us go through difficult relationships or children, our children who are non-compliant, who runs into all sorts of trouble. I just want to share with you that our God is a God of comfort. If the comfort you receive on this earth is not complete, one day our comfort will be complete in the new heaven and the new earth. In conclusion, I just want to end by saying that our God is a God of comfort. Therefore, he created mothers like himself in order to comfort us in our troubles and suffering. Today, we truly want to thank God and appreciate all the mothers in the world for their loving comfort. Many of us are what we are today because of the comfort of our mothers. Thank you, mothers, for comforting us, for being selfless and sacrificial. Let us pray. Father Lord, we truly want to thank you today for mothers that you have created, which is an expression of your comfort. And truly, Lord, our mothers have comforted us during our times of severe need. And our mothers can see in our disabilities, in our failures, in our discouragement, the potential for us to rise up again. And Lord, because you have created mothers to comfort us, that many of us are what we are today solely because of our mother's comfort and love. We truly want to thank all mothers. May you shower them with your strength and with your wisdom, and may you continue to bless them and grant them favor in all the things that they do. We thank you and praise you. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Thank you.